He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council producing bearded intern, just bringing the overall attractiveness up. It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And you know, the joy that we feel for midweek mock draft.
It's actually quite unusual and silly and stupid.
Well, it started last week.
I'm genuinely excited about this.
A new show tradition started. Typically, it will be Wednesday. It's my fault it was not Wednesday, but a new show tradition has started. It's the midweek mock draft. And so we'll mock draft some serious things probably someday, maybe. But last week, the mock was Disney movies. And I have to stress this to you because you guys all reacted on social media without remembering the rules. So,
and you won the vote.
I did. Overwhelmingly. I mean, I had a strong...
Settle down.
I think
Fantasia.
The rest of you combined did not equal my vote total. So I nailed my Disney movies. So in week two, we go from Disney...
Or people like a really bad Frozen movie.
Let it go.
Awful movie.
It's fantastic. You shut your Disney mouth. We go from like the most childlike thing, of course, to the manliest thing, which is why I'm really glad we're doing this on Thursday, because bearded intern is like a man's man. You know, like he's got the massive. So we were sitting there. We were saying, what do we want to mock next week? And I don't know how the phrase came up, but it has lived with us. Meat mock. That's right. We are mock drafting meats. And I want to point out something you found. We've discovered something the internet does not know.
I literally tried to research rankings of meats, and the internet has literally ranked everything in the history of the world. Like, I could be like, let's rank Kentucky quarterbacks in the 90s, and like, you probably could find that list on the internet somewhere. Like, you could find a list of everything ever on the planet known to man. You cannot find a list of meats on the internet. Top meats. Ranking the meats. It doesn't exist on the internet. Someone needs to do it.
Well, we're about to, and this is the way the mock draft goes, okay? Just like any mock draft, you're taking the player or the meat in this situation that you want. So we're not pandering for votes. We're taking a group of grown men. We're taking each other at our words.
The rule is these are the four meats you get to eat the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that's it. You get no other meats.
The other thing to know is that pig, cow, and chicken have been divided by the parts, okay? The rest of them are just the meat, or just the animal, I should say. So
I have pig, cow, and chicken disease.
So we're not going to try and like break a quail into different pieces.
No. And fish is, you have to pick the type of fish.
Right.
So you can't just say fish and then get all of the fishes.
Right. So,
which is not a word.
And so what we did during the break, as always, before the 9 o'clock hour starts for midweek mock draft, we drew a draft order. Braden is picking.
Oh, I'm so happy about this.
Braden gets the top pick in the draft.
I get the first pick.
So it's going to go Braden, then it's going to go bearded intern, then me, and then Julian Council. We're going to do four rounds.
It's
a snake draft. So that means it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1 with all of the meats on the table. Braden Gall, you are up first. What is your first meat selection
I'm so happy I did not get another portion of the cow. There's a lot of great pieces of the cow. There's only one filet mignon. I get the filet of the cow, and that is by far not even close, in my opinion, the number one meat. I will get the greatest red meat of all time, the filet, with the first pick in the meat mock. Not even close. Filet and cards turned in.
Okay, cards turned in. Done. Bearded intern with the second pick in the meat mock draft.
All right, this is my personal favorite, the New York strip.
I knew it was going to be all cow in the first round.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe
that's
not.
That's the best way to go.
And the fact that you went New York strip is fantastic.
If you like a little fat in your meat, that's fine.
I appreciate a delicious steak. There's nothing wrong with the delicious steak, okay? But at some point, we have to look at the most versatile of all of the meats, the one meat that improves whatever it is put on. Because whether you have filet, whether you have strip steak, or whether you have shrimp, whether you have any of those, the one thing that you'll pay extra to add to it, bacon. I am going bacon in the top round. Bacon is, I am crushing the,
bacon's
I'm running
hot right
down
now.
The,
bacon is hot right now. They tried to put it on a Sunday, I think, in one fast food restaurant.
They have it in coffee. They have it in everything now. So
yeah. Bacon, a lot of versatility with bacon. Strong roll there. So the filet off the board, the New York strip, if you prefer a little more marble in your steak, off the board as well, and bacon off the board. So those are the top three picks in the meat mock. I'm not surprised by those three. Those are three good quality choices there. Also all going to cause heart attacks. But
yes,
good quality choices there. Julian Council on the turn for two selections, sir.
Okay, my first pick, I take the Eastern North Carolina style barbecue from Bill Ellis's barbecue in Wilson, North Carolina.
So that's pulled pork is what you're getting.
Sure, that's what you guys call pulled pork. We call barbecue, so that's what I'll be having.
Okay,
so you have pulled pork barbecue.
Pulled pork.
Eastern
pulled pork
North Carolina vinegar style based pulled pork barbecue from Bill Ellis's in Wilson, North Carolina.
Okay.
So pulled pork is off
pulled
the board.
Pulled pork is off the board. Okay.
Sure. Go ahead, take it off the board. So whatever you want to call it.
Which technically would be pork shoulder or pork butt would be the two, I believe. I'm assuming that's...
You said butt.
Whatever you call it. Yeah. Call whatever you want.
That's generally what's used in pulled pork. So pulled pork off the board with one pick. That's pretty good selection.
So round one was filet at first overall, New York strip at second overall, bacon at third,
strong
pulled pork at four.
That's strong. That's a strong top round. Yep.
So it goes back to Julian as we snake our way through round two, and Julian will now have the first pick in round two because of the snake. So Julian, what do you got?
Let's see how you can screw the draft up here.
All right, with my second pick, I take Cruz Jalapeno Cheese Sausage Link from Hill Country.
Oh,
there are three locations, one location in D.C. and two in New York City.
I like that. Okay, so sausage.
So pork sausage, right? We're going to go.
Pork sausage, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so pork sausage went off the board there.
So pulled pork and pork sausage off the board. I'm not sure what part of the pig. It's like ground beef, right? Like ground beef is a portion of the cow.
Many different parts, probably.
Right.
This is difficult because I've got a couple of things, and this is where mock draft strategy comes in, because I've got a couple of things to pick from here. And I don't think either of them are going to be available to me by the time we get back to me because there are so many picks remaining.
Chicken breast still on the board, by the way.
So I am going to, because of my massive love of sushi, I'm going tuna for my second pick.
Wow.
I want the whole thing.
Off the board. You get a lot of versatility. Yeah.
Versatile. Yeah. I've got bacon and I've got tuna.
You can go canned tuna. You can go seared tuna. Ahi tuna. You can go sushi tuna. A lot of sashimi tuna.
I got everything covered under the tuna.
I like that.
All right. So I went tuna, which takes us to bearded intern.
I'm going to go with brisket.
That's a strong portion of the cow there.
Versatile, can make it barbecue.
That's pretty good.
Variety of different
ways. That's pretty good, and nothing like a good smoke ring on a brisket. You got to get the smoke ring there. Okay, so ribeye still on the board. Chicken breast still on the board. I'm going to go off the board with two personal favorites here, and I'm going to go land, sea, and air here. I've got filet first. I am going to go scallops with the second round. Last pick in the second round, I'm taking scallops. They are the sea's butter, essentially. They just are just so delicious. I'm going scallops, also very versatile to match with my filet, so surf and turf. So now I need some air in my life. I'm taking duck. Give me all of the duck. I get any type of duck prepared any type of way I want. So I've got filet, scallops, and duck as my top three. So far, I'm feeling pretty good about my menu.
That actually does feel very... You've got, like,
that was strong.
Like, at this point, major restaurants are calling you. They're not calling me.
My meats are very expensive. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, major, like the really nice restaurants are calling you. All of the local like chains are calling me. They're like, you got bacon? That's so far where we are. Bearded intern, second pick in the third round. You already have New York strip and brisket, which is also, you're showing some versatility.
What a lot of cow in your life, man.
Oh, yeah. This next one is very personal. Growing up in Northeast Ohio, hunting at a very young age, I'm going to go with white-tailed deer or venison.
You're taking deer. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
I'm definitely not pandering for votes today.
I did not see venison being selected today.
I mean, there's a little bit of versatility here. A sneaky, versatile pick
from somebody
that now has like New York strip, brisket, and venison.
You got a lot of hooves in your
Lots
diet
of
there.
Hooves,
but you know, you could go stew, you could go burgers, you can go backstrap filet. You get the whole deer, which is like getting the cow if you like deer.
Exactly.
Some people don't like deer.
I am going to, we'll get these last two picks in this round and then we'll come back. I'm going to go at this point because it's still on the board and it's like my indulgent splurge. I'm going to go with prime rib. Prime rib has not been taken.
So can't believe chicken breast still on the board.
Prime rib.
Not a single piece of chicken has been taken. Maybe we should have put the whole bird together.
Yeah, well, prime rib is off the board.
Okay, all right.
So giving me now bacon, tuna, and prime rib. Like, I'm the happiest I could ever be.
Prime rib's pretty
good. Julian Council, last pick in this draft before you snake around. What is your pick in this one?
I will be taking the quarter southern fried chicken from Mama Dip's Country Kitchen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
See, the quarter is sneaky there. Should that be allowed, judges?
White meat, by the way.
Should that be allowed?
Well, he just said white meat. So he's
taking breast.
He's taking southern fried chicken off the board, which is very...
Well, a quarter chicken is generally a thigh and drumstick.
I'm getting white meat, so.
So you're taking the fried chicken
breast. I order this, and I get white meat every time. That's what I get.
Okay. So, and it's a chicken breast, right, I believe? Okay.
Yeah, so southern chicken breast. So we're going to. Okay. But his description of it, far better. Yeah, I mean, like, southern fried chicken is its own. Yes. Like, because I'm such a grilled chicken guy, like, that sounds far more delicious than anything I have. We'll give you the fourth round of meat mock, and you guys will get to chime in. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't go anywhere in just a few minutes. You do not want to forget, courtesy of the fantastic guys over at Nashville SC that we love so much, we're going to be giving away in just about 10 minutes, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to go to the amazing, incredible International Champions Cup game match, I should say, this weekend. At Nissan Stadium. So if you're just tuning in, Meat Mock is going on. Yes,
we're in the throes.
On the heels of Disney Mock last week. So we're three completed rounds in. At this point right now, Braden drew the first pick, and we've been doing a snake draft. So Braden at this point has filet, scallops, and duck. Three rounds done. Bearded intern who drew the second pick has New York strip, brisket, and deer, whitetail, venison.
Strong.
I drew the third pick, for which I have bacon, all of the usages of tuna, however you want to use it.
Usages?
Yeah, exactly. And prime rib.
It's pretty strong.
And then Julian Council, running the turn on this thing, has pulled pork barbecue from someplace I've never heard of.
Ellis's in Wilson, North Carolina.
Yes, and then pork sausage from...
Hill Country Barbecue.
And chicken breast from...
Fried chicken from...
Mama Dip's Country Kitchen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Also my grandmother's restaurant.
So, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
very
awesome.
Cool.
So, your grandma has like a really cool, amazing fried chicken recipe?
Nothing you should be concerned about.
Well, I mean, like, I want to go up to Carolina.
You can't have the recipe, is that what you're asking?
No, I don't want the recipe. I want to
eat
it.
Yeah.
I want to know when we're taking a team trip up there so that we can...
We are literally doing a meat mock. We want to taste your grandma's
I don't want to have to cook it.
We're on, what, year 41 down there?
That's pretty awesome, dude.
That's amazing, dude. That's incredible. So right, we pick up the fourth and final round of the draft. There's some staggering things left available.
There's unbelievable talent on the board. Very deep meat mock here.
You know, it's and so go ahead, Julian. What's your pick?
My pick is, of course, is the OG Bojangles Chicken Supremes.
What is that?
I don't think that's a piece of meat, though.
Chicken tender is meat to me.
Tenders.
Chicken tenders.
Chicken tender is not a cut. No, you already got white meat chicken. You don't get to draft chicken white meat.
Oh, yeah, you already have that. I mean, you already own it.
Well, that's my pick, so.
Okay,
controversy.
He's picking chicken tenders
Chicken tender isn't a meat.
It's my pick.
I mean,
I don't know how this works now because that's not a piece of meat.
The always difficult, so, Julian.
Yeah.
Well, basically, he picked
way to be a team player.
White chicken meat and white chicken meat on two straight picks, and that's fine. Like, he likes his white chicken meat in different capacities.
I don't think that'll
actually
be allowed by
the
commissioner.
But. In fairness, your last round pick was actually a quarter chicken, which would cover basically the dark chicken meat.
Well, the white. Well, but he said it.
Fine. I'll get catfish.
There you go.
Okay.
You go. Perfect. Awesome catfish. Pick. Catfish is delicious.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you,
so this creates a very difficult situation for me because I have bacon, tuna, and prime rib at this thing, and these are three things that when I'm not eating healthy, which is very rare.
And also, that needs to be told here in this meat mock that we are eating these four meats the rest of our lives without any health repercussions whatsoever.
Right.
So that's why you can go. You know, bacon.
I have two distinct things left that I eat all the time, and I truly cannot choose between the two of them. So I went to my assistant GM. I texted my wife and said, which one should I pick out of the two? And she did let me know that I lost my mind by not having both represented already, that I've already screwed up this entire draft. So with
it's not
my,
about her.
With my final
Sorry.
Pick.
Sorry, Sonny. It's about you, Fitz.
And this is tough. With my final pick, I'm going pork chops.
Strong.
I'm going pork chops.
That's strong.
Put a little bit of applesauce on there.
Bacon. I've already got the bacon. I just put the bacon over with it.
No pork tenderloin?
Pork tenderloin,
pretty damn good.
No, man, I like thick-cut pork chops seared.
Bone on. All right, good.
So there we are. Pork chops. Bearded intern?
There's so many options. I mean, if you talk about the deepest drafts of all time... Probably the meat mock is the deepest there. Draft of all time.
This is up there.
So I am going to go with, just because of the value on this pick, I have to go with the Alaskan king crab.
So, that, and that's
get,
what I was.
You get crab. You get all yeah.
oh,
crab
so
you want.
All crab.
You get
that's
every crab. You get
wonderful.
Blue crab. You get stone crab. You get Alaskan king crab. Which
so
actually
I've got boils. I've got.
I've eaten king crab like in Alaska, out of the water that morning, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever eaten in my life with my wife. It was spectacular. So here's what's still on the board for the final pick.
By the way, crab was the thing I was debating okay. for. I yeah. could not. Those are my two.
That makes sense for Sonny. Yeah. Crab is pretty spectacular. Still on the board is shrimp, turkey, lobster, ribeye, the entire buffalo/bison is still available. Lamb has not been picked.
Chicken thigh,
which is by far not even close, according to all professionals, not me, the tastiest piece of the chicken, because it is. I don't know what to do here because there's so many good options. I've already got a bird. I've already got some water. By the way, groupers, every fish basically on the board except for catfish and tuna. But I got to go baby back ribs. Pork,
oh,
baby back ribs.
Oh, that's a good call. Will you sing the chili song? I want some no. baby back, baby no, back, baby back, baby
but
back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Lobster is not going to get drafted in this. Like, that is insane. Nobody thinks lobster is one of their four favorite meats.
Oh, yeah, I don't really like lobster.
I'm definitely prefer crab to lobster.
And
so
I went
when I'm at a place like that, yeah. I go with the crab.
And
I love
went
crab.
Scallops over lobster, so I guess that's me on me. I would love, if this, I actually had to eat these and there was a health implement to this, I probably would have gone with a fish. My top pick probably would have been grouper. I just love Gulf. It's just unbelievable. But I got to go with some pork, and I need some baby back ribs because ribs are my jam. So I'm going pork ribs essentially with my last pick.
So what we have now, here are our rosters, and we'll put these up for everybody. You guys get to vote on it for 24 hours. That's the way we do it. And the roster for Braden Gall, he's got filet, scallops, duck, and baby back ribs. That is spectacular. Like, you're opening a restaurant.
Come on.
The second overall pick in the draft went to Peter Dintoon, who has New York strip, brisket, deer, and crab. Like, that's also
strong. Deer's high. That'll you're not going to get some votes on the deer. You're going to lose votes on deer.
I don't know.
I'm fine with that.
In our audience, I'm not sure. I came in with bacon, tuna, prime rib, and pork chops. So I am
that's
showing that
too.
I am very I am average American in basically everything I do. Like, it's like the bacon and tuna. Like, none of that is like that unique. And then Julian, interestingly, no cow. It went pulled pork barbecue, went pork sausage, went southern fried chicken, and then went catfish.
And essentially, he gets catfish, chicken breast, sausage, and pulled pork. And pulled pork, that's a first round pick. There's no question about that.
So Julian will create some sort of a Julian will create some sort of a
poll question.
Poll question. Yeah. Thank you. That's the really big word I was looking for. I should do radio for a living. That will let you guys vote on it. And this one's tough because as Braden said, like, pork tenderloin didn't even get picked. Lobster didn't get
picked. Lobster's not picked. Turkey. We have an entire holiday around a single meat.
Yeah, but you only eat it.
Not one of it got picked.
You only eat turkey a few times a year. Like, how often do you walk into a restaurant and you're like, ooh, they have turkey? And bison.
But like we use ground turkey for our tacos at home. Like,
yeah, we use ground turkey for everything.
We don't use beef for that. So, but ground turkey. Turkey breast is fantastic. All the other cuts of the chicken, just like the turkey, tremendous.
I mean, every guy that's ever toured with me right now is rolling their eyes at this entire thing because I spent my entire touring life having two grilled chicken breasts for lunch, two grilled chicken breasts for dinner, and I didn't take grilled chicken.
Health consequences out the window on this.
Yeah, so. This was like a what would you eat if you could, and you know,
shrimp not selected. Shrimp is maybe the most versatile meat on the planet.
Yeah, but here's the problem with shrimp.
We learned in Forrest Gump.
I don't like to have to, like, you know, devein them and everything, and sometimes you have to. Like,
there's a labor intensive.
Yeah, I don't love that. And B, I got the bacon, which automatically makes everything better. Like, when I eat bacon wrapped shrimp, I'm just really eating the bacon.
No oyster, no quail. I understand that. No lamb. If Chaz from Promotions was in here, crawfish would be off the board. So crawfish still on the board.
Can't do crawfish.
Elk, bison, again, salmon not picked.
Salmon not picked.
Salmon would have been the fifth if I had one.
Trout, grouper, striper, ribeye not picked. Ribeye still available on the board.
I mean, that's
poor little ribeye.
Yeah, well, we'll give as you guys can chime in, it's going to be up at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Chime in. Also, if you have future mock draft suggestions, we're a community. We do it together. So if you've got a mock suggestion, send it to us. You can get to at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz, or, of course, at 1025 The Game. I wouldn't even try at Julian Council. Just don't. No, nobody's
brave enough. Yeah, don't bother.
Let's give away some free stuff! Thank you, courtesy of our fantastic friends at Nashville SC. We've got another pair of tickets to the International Championship Cup on Saturday, July 29th at Nissan Stadium. Again, courtesy of Nashville SC. International Champions Cup, what you need to know, two of the best teams from England, Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur. They're taking the top scorer in the English Premier League, Harry Kane. He'll be there. There's only a few tickets left. This thing is going to have a crowd of over 60,000. You can be there. We'll just
We'll do a poll question. Not a poll question. We'll do a trivia question.
Okay.
Who scored the winning goal last night for the U.S. men's national team in their Gold Cup victory over Jamaica?
And
tweet at 1025 The Game.
Okay, tweet at 1025 The Game. And that's how you'll get those. Tweet at 1025 The Game. Who scored the winning goal? And again, huge thanks to Nashville SC for everything they're doing to help grow soccer in this community. We freaking love it, and we love everything about it. What we don't love.
One more time. Tweet at 1025 The Game. Who scored the winning goal for the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup final last night?
Yeah, calling won't help you on this one. What we don't love is a potential holdout. We need to tell you what it means, who it is, and what effect it could have on the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 1025 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game wants you to sign up for our $5,000 home improvement contest. Go to thegamenashville.com. Register to win $2,500 of furniture and bedding from Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, along with your own spa valued at $2,500 from Four Winds Spa. Brought to you by Atlantic Bedding and Furniture. Your style, your budget, Four Winds Spa. Relax, you've earned it. And your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Some of you guys I don't think would invite us to your spa. Somebody came in and told me that tuna is the Ryan Leaf of meat draft. you, sir, are incorrect, all right?
And somebody tried to tell me that scallops weren't a meat.
I mean, I'm looking at this thinking, tuna...
It's a living organism, right?
You're looking at tuna, you're looking at sushi, sashimi, spicy tuna tartar, tuna steaks, ahi tuna.
I'm with you, dude.
Seared tuna.
I'm with you.
So many opportunities. Julian, do we have a winner, by the way?
We do have a winner for the tickets this weekend. Andrew Lane got the correct answer. It was Jordan Morris scored the winning goal for the U.S. men's national team in their 2-1 victory over Jamaica in the Gold Cup final. So, Andrew, do me a favor. Follow the station so I can DM you the details. Thank you also to Nashville SC for the tickets.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Huge thanks to Nashville SC. And y'all have fun. Like, post a bunch of pictures of that. We love seeing you guys have a good time. And we're really thankful that we have the opportunity on this show to give you the opportunity to go see a bunch of cool different things in Nashville. So I don't know a lot of shows.
Find Julian if you see him at the game and give him a big hug.
Yeah.
Because he'll love that.
He does love hugs. I don't know a lot of shows that give you the chance to see Chris Stapleton and soccer all in one morning. So it's one of the things we love about...
And a meat mock.
A meat mock. Kathleen didn't like our meat mock, I don't think. She wanted us to talk about baseball instead of meat mock.
Meats are way more important than baseball.
Kathleen, Cubs are, back in first place. There you go. There's your baseball talk.
if Chicago intern had a mic, we'd be talking baseball for 4 hours.
Oh, my God. That is fair.
Clayton Kershaw and Steven Strasburg are hurt. Again, I'll just repeat this next year at this time.
Yeah.
Just cut that and play it every year right around this time.
And I'm just going to say Dodgers won, even though I haven't looked at the scoreboard, because that's a pretty safe thing to say.
Until they get
to
the postseason.
Right.
Then they won't.
There we go. We covered it all. So, Corey Davis, I don't want to make too big a deal of this, but at some point we have to talk about it, right? Like, training camp starts tomorrow. Corey Davis, as of yet, has not signed. Two of the top five draft picks, both represented by the same person from the same agency, Corey Davis, Solomon Thomas for the 49ers, both have not signed. In both cases, it's because of schematics and details and contracts. One thing that we had Joel Corey on earlier, and if you missed it, go back to the app and check it out. He's one of the smart guys in this business. It really gives you great content from an agent standpoint. And one thing that Joel also talked about that we haven't really mentioned in the conversation is that part of it has to do with payout language, because understand that offset language can be based on bonuses. It can be based on roster actual payments. And even though these things are slotted, they can move sort of money into bonus and away from regular season payment in the process. So there's some contract. This is all schematics. Like, you know how much the guy's going to get? The question is just, What do they do if he stinks? That's question A. And when are they actually writing the checks? That's question B. So,
and what's weird is that, like, for the longest time, every time you'd see a holdout, you know, you just fans would be like, roll their eyes, and they'd be like, God, this is ridiculous. You know, player can't agree, team can't agree. And generally, I believe that most of us side with the player, generally, unless it's your favorite team, and then you're like, no, get your butt in camp.
Right.
But generally speaking, I think the human element here, side with the player, especially in football where you have a very limited, almost literally, lifespan to play the game, and it's a very physically demanding, there's long-term effects of playing the game at a high level, get your money when you can, contracts aren't guaranteed. I think generally speaking, we all side with players when it comes to holding out. But now, because of the rookie guaranteed deals, it's not even money that they're fighting over. Like, it's about money if you have a job, if you get cut over this certain period of time, and you're just going, like, this is so stupid. Like, it's stupid from a team standpoint because the team drafted a guy at number 5 overall. Like, you don't take a guy number 5 overall if you think you're going to cut him in the first 4 years. Like, that's so counterintuitive. So that's stupid. And then for Corey Davis, I know why he wants to do, why he feels the way he feels, but at the same time, the only reason you would have to pay money back or give money back is that you've already found employment somewhere else and are working for another team and have a contract, which means you're financially okay. So this is we're down to like the number 33 most important thing in negotiations, and it's still causing holdouts. And that seems so stupid to me and trivial, but I mean, I know it's not. It just seems so stupid to me.
Well, you know, I try to wrap my head around it. The one thing we also have to stress is that the caller earlier from Fort Campbell asked, what is the reaction in the locker room? Michael, thank you. And Michael, it's a fair, valid question. But the more I've talked to athletes over the last few years, the more I realize that athletes, more so than we ever will, understand that this is all business. They don't care. You know, they accept the fact that he's going in to take care of himself. My biggest concern is health. I mean, how often do we see a guy that comes into camp a little late and then pushes a little too hard?
And Bosa last year did right. This exact thing.
And then pulls a hamstring. Like, that's the number one thing you always hear at the beginning of camp. It's like, what do we all think when you hear pulled a hamstring? It's impossible. In the middle of the season, we never hear pulled hamstring and think, well, somebody wasn't in shape. But when we come into the beginning of camp, that's the first thing everybody thinks. So if you're Corey Davis and you're coming in and, you know, you're the kid that's got to step up to the new level of competition, and you got to show everybody what you're capable of. You need the reps in practice to learn how to play at this level, and you need your speed and explosiveness. Those would be my concerns. That you know, any missed time practicing could lead to something bigger and a bigger story.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anyone who says, "Oh, this is going to cause dissension in the locker room," no, it won't. No. They don't care. Players don't care. In fact, player side with each other on this one, rightly so. It makes perfect sense why they do that. They never blame each other for trying to get theirs or get their best deal. Everyone understands that. So there's no dissension in the locker room on this at all. I don't think it creates a bad relationship between Corey Davis and Mike Mularkey or Corey Davis and John Robinson. They all know it's business and conducting business at this point. But you're right. I think the biggest issue is time spent on field for a guy who wasn't fully healthy during the combine and didn't run and is working his way back to full speed. It appears that he's back to full speed, but you know, you don't really know. For a rookie entering the NFL, like, you need every single possible rep you can get if you want to try to make as big as an impact as you can. And you can do everything you want. You can go and train and run the exact same routes on a practice field with quarterbacks, and you can do all that. It's just not the same when Marcus Mariota's throwing you the football in that offense with those players around you. You need that sort of time spent in system. You know, it's reps is what it is. And so that, I'm with you. That's my bigger concern here. If it takes a week, okay, it's not a concern. But if we're at the third preseason game and he still hasn't reported yet, then we've got a big issue, and it probably will slow his development and growth and mean that he won't produce like he's supposed to this year.
I also find it interesting. What do we always hear players talk about in the second year? When they come back for their second year, they talk about how coming out of the draft and the whirlwind of the timing and just being thrown into it, they didn't know how to be a professional. We hear that quote all the time from guys that develop. And I look at this and I say, these are the moments where that's why this is important. If you're a player that's been in the league for 8 years and you're going to miss 2 weeks of training camp, it doesn't really matter. If you're Joe Flacco and your back hurts, you want to miss some training camp, doesn't really matter. Heck, if you're Andrew Luck and you're going to miss a little training camp, probably not the worst thing. You know, you look at it and say, hey, these guys know how to be pros. They know what that is. But how often do we hear guys like Corey Davis come into the second year and say, when people say, what's the biggest difference between last year and this year? Now I know what it means to be a pro. I got used to what it feels like to do this at this level. All of these sorts of conversations. We put so much weight into it in year two that I don't think we can undervalue what it means at this point. For every training camp practice, it's a first for him. The first training camp practice he walks into will be his first ever training camp practice. Like, that's just, there has to be an adjustment.
And going back to Joey Bosa, to remind people, again, he sat out for about, what, 4 or 5 weeks?
He missed the first four games.
He missed the first weeks of camp, I think. And then that led to what you're talking about, rushing to get back, got hurt, and then in this very short window of training camp, got hurt. And ended up missing the first four games. Now, he still had a great 12 games of the season, but if he's having a great 16 games of the season, maybe the artist formerly known as the San Diego Chargers wins an extra game or two. That's the issue. It's all great if Corey Davis has 12 great games. It'd be better if he had 16 great games.
Yep.
Like, if you're going to get greatness from this guy, you want him on the field the whole time, not because he rushes himself back and gets hurt. That's the fear with Corey Davis and Solomon Thomas, for that matter, or anybody else that's not in camp.
Well, it's going to be an interesting thing to see play out. And again, we'll be out there a bunch at this station. So luckily, 3D and Jared and the GM, it turns out nobody's there, you know, at 6 a.m. to hang out with us. That's the hot rumor. So, but 3D and Jared and the GM will be broadcasting a bunch from there. You can go to thegamenational.com and see the dates of that. Everybody will be hanging out, and Brady and I will be just hanging out, heckling. So we'll continue to get you caught up on everything as it develops, because this is going to be an interesting training camp to watch. And I think part of the reason it's interesting is because there's chaos at some of the rival teams. There's some reasons for concern in Houston and Indianapolis especially. We'll tell you what they are and why it could mean something special for the Titans. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. Braden has been getting attacked for scallops as meat, but you have a definition that allows that, right?
Well, the definition, I believe, that I looked up on the internet, and of course, if it's on the internet, it has to be true. The definition of the meat on the internet is animal flesh that is eaten as food. Now, you could get deeper into that if you wanted to, because there's plants that have a lot of protein, obviously, like fruit and nuts and like artichoke hearts. You call that the meat of the artichoke, you know? So I don't know. I think we're too deep into that at this point. I think the meat mock is over. People need to get over it. I have a spectacular menu. So does everybody else. Go vote on it at 102.5 The Game.
It is a strong menu, although I'm amazed by the outrage people seem to have for my tuna selection.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
That's one of the top fishes is I would have chosen.
You know, again, tuna tartare, tuna sashimi.
Not tartare, you might lose some folks on that.
I love tuna tartare. Yeah, I mean, you give me, like, you just cut it up raw. You just cut
steak
it up raw,
and
I'm going to eat it, like, all day.
Seared ahi tuna.
I love it. Yeah.
Tuna fish in a can.
Yeah.
Tuna fish casserole.
Yeah.
Tremendous. I don't know why you get ripped for tuna.
Well, hopefully bacon will make up for what people think of my tuna selection.
Current results, bearded intern, which is stupid. He's got deer on his list. 42% of the vote for bearded intern. I'm at 33%. You're at 17%, and Julian Council at 8%. Last week's results, you won 48% of the vote. With your Disney mock draft, I was at 27%.
It sounds like, at this point, what we're figuring out early, very early in the results here, is that I know a lot about cartoons and not much about the meats.
And we got some country boys listening to the show.
Yeah, definitely that. So it's early, though. It's early in the process. You can vote all the way up till tomorrow. We will declare a winner. And again, you can hit us at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz, with any future mock draft ideas you have, because it's all on the table. I do believe ice cream flavors is going to be around the corner too. So,
well, are you making that decision right now?
I mean, I'm not saying it's next week. I'm just saying that's one, for example, that's around the corner. You know, it's there's lots of them in there.
Okay, we'll continue to workshop these mock drafts.
And speaking of the meats. I have no way to transition this. Speaking of greatness, I got nothing. I was trying to find a way
speaking
to get from,
of,
yeah, from a poll
duck.
To, yeah, speaking of duck, is Andrew Luck going to need to duck
Stop.
Defenders? No, that was too forced. Julian's just quit at this point.
He won't be able to if he's not on the field.
Yeah, so the question becomes, Corey Davis might hold out. Andrew Luck on the physically unable to perform list, not going to be practicing, at least for right now. The Texans have what looks like it's going to be a quarterback conversation that will never end. Who's got the most distracted team going into training camp this weekend in your mind?
It has to be Indianapolis. You're saying of the entire division?
Yeah.
It has to be Indianapolis. Jacksonville should be free and clear of all distraction because no one's just like paying attention to them.
Right.
Like no one cares. So like they should be free and clear. I think the Titans, Corey Davis is a small distraction, but really the only distraction for the Titans is expectations, is managing the pressure to sort of be the team that is picked by everyone now to take this giant leap forward. And when you listen to players talk over the next few days, I imagine you're going to hear a lot of people saying things like, this locker room is totally different. We've grown up. We've matured. We learn from our mistakes. I mean, all that stuff's coach speak, but it all has to be true. The Texans certainly are loaded on defense, so you're not distracted there, but your quarterback situation is a major question mark. And your coach relationship with GM could be a distraction, probably not for players. I don't think it's by far the Indianapolis Colts, because right now your quarterback isn't even physically able to play. He's on the PUP list. Your number one draft pick, Malik Hooker, a guy that we talked about during the draft process for the Titans. Hey, injury-prone player, stay away at number five. Well, he's on the PUP list. So your star quarterback and your first pick are not able to perform right now. That's a major concern with a quarterback who's been beaten up the last 3 or 4 years, and he has been the only reason Indianapolis has won games at times. That, to me, is not even close, the biggest sort of, oh, my God, what is going on here?
But when I think of distraction, like, okay, if Luck plays, they're going to be fine. If Luck doesn't, they're going to stink. All right? So it's pretty cut and dry to me in that sense. Okay. When I think about distraction, though, I think Houston actually has it worse, because every single practice is going to be, where are we now on Deshaun, and how do you feel about his development? And then every guy that goes to stand in front of his locker, they're going to walk up and say, how was your summer, and who do you think should be the starting quarterback? Like, there's going to be a conversation. One bad practice for somebody is going to turn into, so now that he's not practicing well, and then, it, you know, that's only going to lead to more conversation about whatever this divide is between GM and coach there. I think that Houston, a team that, you know, you guys all know that I've picked to win the division, Houston's going to be very sink or swim to me this year. Like, they're either going to be really good and it all comes together, or this thing could turn into a straight up like a Kardashian type explosion of chaos and drama.
I could see that. I could see that. So I see where you're coming from on that, and I understand. Here's what I'll say. Do you consider the Dallas Cowboys situation a distraction?
No, because I think the Cowboys organization takes pride in their dysfunction.
So
I think that they sort of take pride in the, like, hey, everybody can get away with everything and people can talk about us all day long, but we're the Cowboys and the Cowboys know how to deal with
this.
We
relish in that, in that role.
We'll bring in Michael Irvin and talk about all the bad decisions he made as a Cowboy, and we'll use that to justify why we're prepared. Okay. Which is sort of a, like, that makes
Washington.
No, yeah.
Distractions?
Yes. I think Washington is distracted. Yeah.
New England, of course, no distraction whatsoever. Because they just don't care about anything anybody says ever on Cincinnati.
In some ways, the NBA offseason is sort of a reminder of how boring the NFL offseason has been. Other than Kirk Cousins, and other than the Redskins and Cowboys, there hasn't been this sort of like, oh my God, what are they doing?
There's no Deflategate.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, we had the CTE thing come up yesterday, but even that didn't get that much run, or 2 days ago. And that didn't really get much run because it's sort of this 30-year thing, not like a – it doesn't affect like how the Packers are going to do this year or whatever. I think – here's the thing. The NFL has mastered the art of controlling your headlines for 12 months a year, maybe 11 months a year. Maybe they punted on this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, do you think they want a scandal right now? Do you think they'd love it if, like – I don't know, pick a quarterback. Like, if Matthew Stafford gets into a major off-the-field issue – do you think that like the NFL would be like happy about that, or do you think they'd be kind of like, or they'd be like, no, bad PR?
I think that where bad PR used to be a big deal to them, now I don't think they really care. And I think that, you know, at some point the NBA has taken over so much conversation in July, which is crazy. I can't believe we're saying that. We just can't take our eyes off of the NBA for some reason. You know, even baseball, as much as we were joking around about it earlier, baseball, there are some really interesting stories happening in baseball. And it's hard to get people to really nationally to invest in it because it just there's a certain thing missing, a certain whatever missing, certain level of Kardashian-like drama.
Je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, a certain je ne sais quoi missing. But I think that there's some, to some element, That's why people have felt like the NFL's been kind of invisible this offseason. I don't think that's the worst thing.
And in college, we did have the Hugh Freeze nonsense, which is a massive story, in particular in the Southeast and amongst college football fans. But it doesn't move the needle amongst like national media people. Like it, Ole Miss is, you sort of learn how valuable Ole Miss as a sports commodity is. Like if this was Alabama and Nick Saban, it would be a huge, like, you know how big the story, Urban Meyer would be a huge story nationally. But Ole Miss doesn't move the needle nationally for like SportsCenter or whatever. It's a huge story here in the South and in the SEC and in college football circles, but it still sort of shows you how big the NFL is. Like a guy can be wrongfully accused of a routine sort of silly arrest, and that could be the biggest story. Like Colin Kaepernick was last year, right? Like Colin Kaepernick lasted forever. Deflategate lasted
still going on. I mean,
Deflategate lasted for 2 years. We didn't have that one big tentpole story this year, other than maybe this Zeke Elliott thing. If it turns into something, then maybe it becomes that. But otherwise, there has not been. It's been a. There's no Adrian Peterson story. There's no like there. And listen, we should not be complaining about no Greg Hardy stories. Like we should be happy that there's no like massive domestic assault issue. Like we should be really happy about that. But when it comes to Colin Kaepernick and Deflategate, those are just kind of personal discussions, right? Like they're not. There's no crime involved in those two situations, and they turn into these massive scandals that last for months and months and months.
I mean, we're turning what could be a 2 or 3 day holdout for a rookie wide receiver for the Titans into a big story because it feels like a big story, but it feels like a big story because perspective says there hasn't really been any other major story to talk about, which is kind of good. I mean, at that point, it's like, hey, we can actually just talk about the teams on the field. I mean, we can actually just talk about, you know, are the Patriots going to go undefeated, as the conversation will be, without having to talk about any drama. But I think that it is interesting to see that the NFL is just sort of, it's opening today
like
and over the course
here.
Of the weekend. And it doesn't have the same big firework, ta-da, moment that it's had.
Now, is that also a function of the fact, and maybe this is a discussion for tomorrow's show,
yes.
Is it also a function that we have by far the biggest Las Vegas favorite in the history of the NFL? The Patriots are the biggest favorite to win the Super Bowl of any team ever.
Right.
Is that also part of this?
Yes.
There's some Warriors element to this from the NBA.
And I think that there's some, we always talk about fatigue. I think that fatigue is going to start to cross over on all sports if we see all sports.
Even in the NFL.
I think if we see top-down domination where it's just boring to watch for a couple of years in a row from multiple sports, then I think that there's a fatigue line that goes across.
I don't know if that ever crosses into the NFL. Let's discuss it tomorrow.
We'll break that down. 3D coming up next. I don't know what they're doing. It'll be better than what we just did. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council back there. Bearded intern. Great job. Go vote on the meat mock draft out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Guys, thanks for listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 1025 The Game. Do it again tomorrow, guys.